Another business hit with a ransomware attack.
Issues with cybersecurity have shut down yet another Midwestern
company. The data breaches put the information of millions at risk.
Here to give you peace of mind in an industry that moves faster than the speed of light. This is your weekly tech-in.
Hello world, this is Patrick Soles, the founder of Soul Tech Solutions, and welcome to the Weekly Tech In Podcast, where we give you peace of mind working with an industry that moves faster than the speed of light. Microsoft Teams Classic, in parentheses, is getting an extended lifeline. So if you don't remember, I think we mentioned in this podcast, and if we didn't, I apologize. You definitely saw it on my social media, though. There is a new Microsoft Teams. It's currently listed as Microsoft Teams, in parentheses, new, which is kind of awful. But the new Microsoft Teams is it's built on a new platform, and that doesn't mean any of the features have changed. It just means they were able to make it a lot more efficient. So the name of the game with the new Teams is that it's way faster. The slowest improvement has been loading initially, and it's 1.7 times faster. So to give you an idea, that's like the slowest improvement that's been made. Everything else is even faster than that. Switching between channels, media loading, a couple of new features like being able to have an account from a different domain logged in at the same time, and you can quickly switch between them, which I find very useful. I think very, very recently, January or early February, reached what's called feature parity. Now, feature parity means that it has one-to-one all the same features as Teams Classic. So most of us assumed, okay, that's the death bell for Teams Classic, and eventually they'll get rid of it, and they'll get rid of the new moniker on the current one, and we'll just have Microsoft Teams again. Well, surprise, Microsoft has said, no, we're pushing the availability for the end of availability for Teams Classic from March 31st, which was looming soon, to all the way to July 1st. So a couple months, few months, a number of months. Apparently, this is to give admins more time to address any issues they might encounter during transitioning, so doing stage transitions for larger corporations. If you want my opinion, though, if you are a small business, which is my target audience, so I hope you are, then you should go ahead and make this change now. It's easy. It's, like I said, one-to-one feature parity, and it's way faster. And if you're not using Teams, there's a lot you're missing out on that it can do. It's more than just communication. It can fill the role of a project management app as well. It's like the number one place to go for cooperation in the workplace. So definitely consider upgrading. And if you're in the Northwest Ohio area, you need help with that, go ahead and reach out to Patrick at soultech.solutions. Cybersecurity is a constantly evolving field. That is why people like me have the jobs we do. So I figured as we enter come close to the exit of quarter one of 2024, we establish what some of the current and what we predict will be the future as far as cyber threats go and what we can do about it. And some of these you probably will have expected. I guarantee you at least one is going to surprise you. So first and foremost, oh boy, everyone's favorite buzzword, AI. Artificial intelligence has been a game changer for businesses, especially small businesses. It's been absolutely incredible what it can do, and has even been great on the cybersecurity side of things. I myself deploy an AI-based endpoint detection and response system for all my clients that can shut down viruses and other forms of malware and ransomware in less than 100 milliseconds, which is phenomenal. But malicious threat actors will be able to do things like create malicious chatbots that fool you into thinking they work for a company, or use other large language models to generate much more convincing phishing emails. Remember, we used to be able to tell that it was a phishing email based off of how it was written, grammatical mistakes because they don't speak perfect English, or, you know, something along those lines. AI is going to help them do that and trick us. The big one that I think has been even in mainstream media is fake news articles, which is already, like, as we approach election season in America, has been the top of everyone's mind. I say approach election season. I've been hearing other people use that. It still seems far off, but whatever. So yeah, fake news articles, again, because they're procedurally generated. They're generated using large language models, which are made to create, not to fact check. The thing about AI is it's not checking Google, right? Google, it's not its resource. It is made to create things. So it'll be creating news articles that people will be publishing. And then lately, if you have been catching on to the the burning fire that is discontent for Sora, OpenAI's generational video AI, we'll see much, much more convincing deepfake videos as well. So a lot of this is going to be designed to deceive or manipulate users. So what do we do about it? Basically, we're going to need more robust security protocols, which embraces what what people in the industry are calling a human-in-the-loop approach, rather than just leaving passive detection systems to do its job. Security training is going to be kind of paramount in this. And then also we'll see, to fight against this sort of thing, we'll see more and more like protocols as far as like checking in with who someone needs to approve before this bill gets paid and yada yada. That way, the more eyes there are on the table, the more likely someone is going to be able to detect a fake from AI, whether that is phishing or news article or a fake request for an unpaid invoice that never happened or that sort of thing. Now, this one I still haven't completely wrapped my head around, but quantum computing is quickly getting closer to actually becoming a real thing. Like, it is a real thing now. There's only, I think, maybe a couple capable quantum computers in the world, but I think we're only a few years away from it actually, like, reaching its full potential. The big problem is that a quantum computer would be able to easily break any of our current encryption methods, which is like, it's the number one way people lock down their files. If it's encrypted, then without a super complex 128 character long decryption key, you're not getting in access to any of that. A quantum computer can process so quickly and try so many things so quickly and is so good at math on so many other levels that it would actually be able to break what is currently the highest rated encryption keys or encryption algorithms. Yeah, that's, I don't even know what we do about that, right? we got to hope that the quantum computers that we first see are in the good guys' hands, really. But you will start to see this year, I guarantee it, some organizations selling and marketing quantum resistant technologies, which is so much fun to say, and deploying what we're calling quantum safe architectures to help resist that. We're on the very, very edge of this starting to be a looming threat, but it is something to be aware of because it will completely change the way we think of something as being secure. I think also this year we're going to see another great rise in hacktivism, which if you've never heard of that, it's been around for a while, but it's, I believe they would call themselves gray hats, or some of them would even consider themselves white hats. But they're hackers that are, doing the things that hackers do, But it's always in promotion of a political or social cause. A lot of times it's like exposing corruption and protesting injustice or supporting a particular movement, which isn't in itself bad. Sometimes those movements are antithetical to the things that we use every day. And that's going to affect you, period, whether you agree with the movement or not. Major global events is going to be the big thing. Look out for word about it during the U.S. presidential election or the Paris Olympics. Or if there's a large organization that is kind of in the media consistently, I think we'll start to see a rise in at least reporting of it. I think we've gotten good enough information from the people out protecting everyone from hackers that we'll hear more and more. We'll start to recognize some names and that sort of thing. How do you keep yourself safe? Currently, it's doing all the same things that you've been doing to keep yourself safe, but especially if you are a part of a political organization. To no one's surprise, ransomware will remain a persistent threat. Now, here's where it might be a little surprising. I think it's going to increase exponentially again. If you didn't know, in 2023, ransomware attacks increased by over 95% compared to 2022. So there's more of them because it's been easier to commit to a ransomware attack. There's more of them because it's working. And in fact, it's the hackers that are implementing these, are the threat actors, are getting their money out of it. Like it's proving worth enough to risk continuing trying to do it. It also is still the most devastating form of cyber attack that can happen to a company. So I've been preaching this for a while, but how do you protect yourself from ransomware? First things first, back up your data regularly. You should have a business continuity and disaster response plan in place that involves full system backups of all your important stuff. Make sure you keep things patched so that security holes can be covered up. Use reliable email filtering and, of course, security training. And then lastly, I think you'll hear more and more and more about cyber insurance. I think we've definitely seen an increase in 2023, but more so, I think it'll be even more influential, primarily because it can help influence the security practices of organizations. I myself have gotten clients simply because they were required to work with an IT provider in order to be approved for cybersecurity insurance, because you need a specialist to take care of it. Remember, the insurance company wants to protect their money as well. And they don't want to have to pay out millions of dollars in the case of a ransomware attack. And so they're going to mandate that you have the kinds of securities that will prevent that kind of thing from happening. I think you'll find more and more of a need for cyber insurance. And I think the important thing to remember is that insurance does not stop the thing from happening. You are not safe because you have cyber insurance. Just like car insurance does not stop your car from crashing in the first place. It just helps you... it helps you fiscally after the crash. And so cyber insurance is going to be one of those things that I think is necessary, but I hope you never really need to use. So I don't mean to scare you, but these are the things that we're looking out for. And trust me, everyone who does what I do is on the prowl and looking out for this kind of stuff. So just make sure you're partnered up. If your organization isn't already partnered up with an IT service provider or an IT consultant, that you do so that you can be ahead of this curve and not the one being dragged behind it. What platform is your website built on? Is it WordPress? It might be, because WordPress is currently rated as the number one website builder in the world, powering roughly half of the global internet. Now, if you don't know the answer to this question, make note to talk to your web developer or web designer very quickly, because this is something you should know. But if it is WordPress. There we go. Got it out. There's a super, super popular WordPress plugin that was found to be vulnerable to what's called a cross-site scripting attack. You don't really need to know the details, but you just know it does leave your your website and the data on it and the data of people who access it very vulnerable. And it is related to a plugin that is also very popular called Lightspeed Cache. It's a website optimization plugin. That's what WordPress is really popular for, is its plugins. It's a website optimization plugin designed to improve the speed of the website. So obviously very, very popular. So there's a really significant vulnerability in this plugin that has been patched. There is an update. All you have to do to, if you are running this plugin, all you have to do is make sure it's the latest version vulnerability patched. Here's the problem with WordPress sites is that a lot of times plugins, especially non-commercial ones, are often developed by like smaller teams or even individuals, and many times become abandoned or never updated. And so if there's a problem with it, that problem persists, that vulnerability persists. And even if it does get fixed or patched, the people who maintain those websites are rarely looking at plugin updates. That is like the last thing on their minds when it comes to updating someone's website. So if you have a WordPress site, if you have a web designer or developer working for you who maintains your WordPress site, ask them if you're using Lightspeed Cache. And if you are using Lightspeed Cache, ask them to make sure it's the latest version to protect you and anyone who visits your website. And that's it for this week's Tech-In. If you have any questions about what you heard in today's episode, or if you have questions you'd like answered in a future episode, please feel free to reach out by emailing questions@soultech.solutions. And until then, thank you for listening. This is Patrick, logging out.